Well, because that's a double reading, it's a bit longer than normal. Not my favourite reading, but it's a very important reading. Because if we didn't have that reading, then we wouldn't know how to teach our children the things of the scriptures and how we should live and how we should live our lives. So I think, you know, for that reason, it's important. My message today is taken from Malachim Bait, or 2 Kings, which we read today. And I've read this scripture before, but I've got a completely different lean on it to what I'm written before. So let us get into the word. Now, I've titled my message, Why Do We Speak in Tongues? And this is a question that's been posed to me on more than one occasion. People want to know why we do it, how we do it, what's the reason we do it. So I thought I would answer that both spiritually and scientifically to show you what an awesome Yah we serve. So let's get into our scripture first from Malachim Bait, chapter 7, verses 3 to 8. Now there were four men with Zaraat at the entrance to the city gate, and they said to each other, "Why should we sit here till we die? If we say we'll enter the city, then the city has been struck by the famine, so we'll die there. If we sit here, we'll also die. So let's go and surrender to an army of Aram. If they spare our lives, we will live. If they kill us, we will only die." They got up during the twilight to go to the camp of Aram. But when they reached the outskirts of the camp of Aram, they saw no one. For Yehovah had caused the army of Aram to hear the sound of chariots and horses. And it sounded like a huge army. And they said to each other, "The king of Israel must have hired the kings of the Hitti and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." So they jumped up and fled in the twilight, leaving their tents, horses, donkeys, and the whole camp just as it was, and ran for their lives. When these men with Zaraat reached the outskirts of the camp, they entered one of the tents, ate and drank, then took some of the silver, gold, and clothing and went and hid it. Next they returned and entered another tent and took stuff from there and went and hid it. Now these four lepers, or men with Zaraat, and the people within the city were spared or saved by a sound from Yehovah. The sound had an effect on things and people. I know, because I'm extremely susceptible to sounds, especially certain high pitch frequencies that really send my head spinning. So the people of Aram heard sounds like chariots and horses. But did they really? Was it just a vibration they heard that was from Yehovah? Let's have a look at Acts 2, verses 1 to 6. The festival of Shavuot arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from the sky like the roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came to rest on each one of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now they were staying in Yerushalayim, religious Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were confused because each one heard the believers speaking in his own language. In this case, Yehovah uses sound to accomplish his purpose and his works. Scientists search for the building blocks of life. They asked, what is the essence of physical reality or human existence? The answer to that question has changed through the ages. It's not just chunks of matter, as scientists once thought, But it is the empty spaces in between, or pockets of energy, moments of experience, relationship. And that is the essential physical reality and human existence. Back in the 1950s, when I was going to school in the late 40s and early 50s, scientists thought that the smallest piece of matter was an atom. They then concluded that atoms were the building blocks of the universe. But then came the 1960s, and they realized that they'd made a big mistake. They were now able to look inside the atom and found that it was not solid. It was basically a lot of space with something smaller inside that was called a nucleus. A few years later, after that, they were able to look inside the nucleus, and they discovered it was not solid, but it was basically a lot of empty space with something smaller inside called protons and neutrons. So the conclusion at that time was that these protons and neutrons were the building blocks of the universe. But several years ago, they were able to look inside the protons and the neutrons. And guess what? They found that they were also filled with mostly empty space with tiny particles called quarks and gluons. So they then concluded that this is the smallest. These are the building blocks of the universe. But since then, they have found out that there is something smaller than that, even again. And there is something inside the quarks and the gluons. And these little particles are called leptons. And guess what? Inside the leptons is mostly empty space. So the point is this. Inside every atom is a lot of empty space, which is a lot like our little solar system in miniature. Tiny particles surrounded by empty space. Who knows what is going to be discovered in the next few years? Is there an end to it? When we think of infinity, we always think of how far can it go out. But how big does it get? Or how high up does it go? We never think, well, I'd never thought of, how small can it get? We think of what we call outer space, the universe, a galaxy, such as our own Milky Way, has hundreds of thousands or even millions and billions of stars. The speed of light is approximately 186,000 miles per second. And some stars, don't ask me to put it in kilometres, and some stars in the same galaxy are hundreds and thousands of light years of travel apart, even at that speed. And there are billions of galaxies out there that we know about, but perhaps more that we don't know about. There is a lot more that we do know, and one is that the universe is expanding away from its centre at a speed of almost the speed of light. It is growing and getting bigger and bigger by the moment. I should probably say man's knowledge of it, as Yehovah created it all, and he knows how big it's going to get. And beyond the galaxy, the most wonderful objects in the universe, more powerful than a black hole. They emit more power than thousands of combined galaxies. And yet, they are smaller in size than our own sun. These objects are known as quasars. So when we speak of infinity, it's easy to speak of size of how big it can get. The finite and carnal mind says there has to be an end to it. But then comes the question, what then is on the other side? And yet our Yehovah can hold them in the span of his hand. He calls each star by name. He spoke it into existence. and it is still obeying his command to this day. When you ponder the topic of infinity, the universe is not large enough. You have to think about Yehovah, who created it all, with the power of his spoken word. So let's go to the next slide, please. In Bereshit Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, Yehovah created the heaven and the earth." We go down into chapter 5 and it says, "And Yehovah called." He spoke. He called. In verse 6, "And Yehovah said," once again, his word. And Yochanan 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with Yehovah, and the word was Yehovah." And in Yochanan 1:3, it says, "All things came to be through him, and without him nothing made had being." Yochanan 1:14 says, "The word became a human being and lived with us, and we saw his Shekinah, the Shekinah of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." And even his son, Yeshua, spoke to a raging storm in Mark 4, verse 39, and says, "Quiet, be still." Even the winds and the sea obeyed the sound of his voice. So we can think of how big infinity is, but can we think that the same principle applies in the opposite direction? That no matter how small you become, the same rules apply. And that Yehovah is above all, through all, and in you all. To put it simply, all of matter is composed of atoms that are filled with empty spaces with a few little particles inside on a possibly never-ending decreasing basis. Have you ever pondered or considered why Yehovah made things this way? Why did he choose to use a little matter and a lot of empty space to make up all things? Because when Yehovah set a rule or law, he follows it. And all things consist of empty spaces with a little matter inside. There are laws that defy our imagination and understanding. There are an incalculable number of atoms in the universe. But according to physicists, there are more notes that can be played on the 88 keys of a piano than there are atoms in the universe. We can look at solid matter, but we have to remember the empty spaces. It is the empty spaces, the pockets of energy, that make atoms hold together to form matter or a solid substance such as a human being. According to physicists, if you took all of the empty spaces out of all of the atoms of all the 7 billion people alive on the planet right now and gathered that solid stuff together, it would only be enough to fill an ordinary beach ball. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Scientists believe that the thing that determines what happens to a piece of matter goes on in the empty spaces. And when I read this, it made me laugh. Because it made me think of the stupidity of the teachers that taught me in the 1940s and 1950s when I was at school. You see, the young boys in our classes, we would have 40 to 48 children in a class, and the boys would do the milk run or the ice run because there weren't refrigerators. So they'd do the ice run in bare feet on cold winter's days, getting up very early, going to school barefooted because they didn't own shoes. And they had difficulty learning. They were tired. They were exhausted. And the teachers accused them of having empty spaces between their ears, or that their brain was an empty space. Now, there's no way a teacher could say that to a child now and get away with it. But that's how these boys were treated. They were hard-working young children, doing far more than what our young children do today. But they were right. There is a lot of empty space within our bodies, but not in the way they were thinking. There is a new science these days called complexity science. Scientists contend that all matter is held together by vibrations, vibrating threads of energy that make up life. Your body is sending off vibrations. Every one of your cells is in a constant state of vibration. In a spiritual sense, the question is not, what are you made of? But the real question is, what are you going to allow to fill your empty space? Most people say that the eyes are the gateway to the soul. But actually, it is the ear that is the gateway to the soul. The eyes are the window of your soul. When you look into a person's eyes, you can see if the lights are out or if they're not. Some people are in some empty space that you can't see what's really inside. Others light up and you know what's inside. But our ears are the gateway or the door to our soul. Our ears enable us to discern or perceive sounds. We perceive voices, music, and such are vibrations that the ear perceives what we call sound. Our spiritual ears enable us to discern the voice of Yehovah. Hearing is based upon vibration. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Deuteronomy 6:4, which we know all very well, Shema Yisrael, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad. Shema means hear or listen. Sound is a function of vibration which gives off frequencies. We can hear something because we pick up its vibrations. That is why your ear is a concave shape, so that it can pick up those vibrations. When you hear, the outer ear works like a funnel to catch sound waves and deliver them to the middle, to the ear drum, which is a tympanic membrane, like a tympani drum. This causes the eardrum to vibrate, which sets three tiny middle ear bones into motion. The vibrations are then transferred through your middle ear to the inner ear and the cochlea, which is a complex fluid-filled system with thousands of nerve endings. There, the vibrations are converted into electrochemical impulses and sent on to your brain for interpretation. Sound is a pressure disturbance originating from a vibrating object and propagated by the molecules of the medium, which is usually air. If we consider a sound arising from a vibrating tuning fork, if the fork is struck on the left side, its prongs move to the right side, creating an area of high pressure by compressing the air molecules there. Then the prongs rebound to the left, and the air molecules are compressed on that side, and that continues left to right, until the energy waves decline and the sound dies a natural death. And that's important, because scriptures say again in Deuteronomy 6:4-9, I'll say the whole lot, Shema Yisrael, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad. and you are to love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart, all your being, and all your resources. These words which I am ordering you today are to be on your heart, and you are to teach them carefully to your children. You are to talk about them when you sit at home, when you are travelling on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them on your hand as a sign, put them at the front of your headband around your forehead, and write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. Yehovah wanted the children of Israel to hear good vibrations constantly from the oneness of Yehovah until it got down, right down inside them. These words are to be on your heart. Sound waves that vibrate on your eardrum enter into your mind and your heart. That is the understanding, the intellect, and the comprehension. And then you are to go and start telling your children about it, vibrating it out, resonating the same vibrations that Yehovah says, resonating it to your children. Yehovah Eloheinu is one. His name is great and greatly to be praised. When you walk, when you lie down in bed at night, when you enter the door of your house, you are resonating good vibrations unto Yehovah. We need to say daily, He is one Yehovah. He is a mighty Yehovah. He is an awesome Yehovah. And He is greatly to be praised. When you wake up in the morning and you go into your job, you say, He is one Yehovah. He is a mighty Yehovah. He is an awesome Yehovah. He is an everlasting Yehovah. He shall supply my every need. It is important at this time, especially with so many people stood down from their jobs, to keep praising Him, knowing that your jobs will return before too long. Yehovah will supply your every need. Every place and everywhere you go, we are supposed to send out good vibrations about the awesomeness of Yehovah. The ear gate is a natural conduit between Yehovah and all creation. Yehovah wants our whole beings to vibrate the knowledge of who He is. He wants us to be an echo of Himself. And from a scriptural perspective, faith is not a visual thing. We can't see faith. We can't touch faith. We can't taste faith. We can't feel faith. Because faith is a vibration. In Romans 10, 14 and 15 it says, But how can they call on someone if they haven't trusted in Him? And how can they trust in someone if they haven't heard about Him? And how can they hear about someone if no one is proclaiming Him? And how can people proclaim Him unless Yehovah sends them? As the Tanakh puts it, how beautifully are the feet of those announcing good news about good things. And in verses 17 to 18 of Romans 10 it says, So trust comes from what is heard. From what is heard comes from a word proclaimed about the Messiah. But I say, isn't it rather that they didn't hear? No, they did hear. Their voice has gone out throughout the whole world and their words to the ends of the earth. And in 1 Corinthians 1:12 it says, For Yehovah's wisdom ordained that the world, using its own wisdom, would not come to know Him. Therefore Yehovah decided to use the nonsense of what we proclaim as means of saving those who come to trust in it. Yehovah chose the rapid vibrations of a person's vocal cords to present Himself to humanity. You can't know Yehovah by the wisdom that comes naturally from the world. You come to know Him by the vibrations of the spoken word of Yehovah as it enters into your heart and impacts your understanding. It seems foolish to the world, What I'm doing right now seems crazy. But vocal vibrations about the one true and living Yehovah can create something inside of you that energizes your empty space. So in Romans 10:17 told us, so trust or faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through a word proclaimed by the Messiah. When we speak of the manifold goodness of Yehovah, he is in those sound waves. And I'm not just speaking off the top of my head. Yehovah is in the sound waves right now. That's why you can feel his presence. You are feeling good vibrations. And that's glad tidings of good things to those who hear it. And as we know, faith or trust does not come by seeing. It comes by vibration. It doesn't matter what it looks like, but what matters is, what does Yehovah have to say about it? He wants us to listen and to hear his word. He wants to speak to us and through us. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews 4 and verse 12, it says, see, the word of Yehovah is alive. It is at work and is sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts right through to where soul meets spirit and joints meet marrow. It is quick to judge the inner reflections and attitudes of the heart. Yehovah's word fills up all the empty spaces of my body with good vibrations. In Tehillim or Psalms 147:15, it says, he sends his word out over the earth. His command runs swiftly. It runs swiftly. It goes down into your genome. Right now, it's going through your DNA into your genome. That's why it says in Acts 10:44 and verse 40-46, Kepha was still saying these things about when the Ruach HaKodesh fell on all who were hearing the message. All the believers from the circumcision faction who had accompanied Kepha were amazed that the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh was also being poured out on the Goyim, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising Yehovah. Tongues is something we often don't understand. We don't understand what we're saying, but when we speak in tongues, we're speaking in vibrations. It's the vibrations that go out and the way the vibrations go out that resonates to the spirits of the people hearing them. Scientists say that cosmic vibrations are everywhere, from cellular phones to radios to tuning forks and even to snowflakes. Everything emits vibrations, sounds that will either feed or famish your soul. As we know, there are good vibrations, and there are bad vibes. I'm sure you have all felt them, and this has produced a new academic field, which is called acoustic ecology, and it means the studying the sounds that people listen to. And as I said before, as Yeshua said on more than one occasion, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. What are we listening to these days? You know, I learned something in the past week, which was a real aha moment for me. What I learned said that from the beginning of the hippie movement in the early 1960s, starting with the Beatles music and carrying through to this very day, the frequency of the sound waves of the songs changed from a perfect sound with a hertz, which is in cycles per, which is cycles per second, with a gematria of 9, Yah's number of perfection. And they changed that to hertz of a gematria of 8, which put everything off key. The penny dropped for me then, because it was when the Beatles came on the scene in 1963, and they came out to Australia in 64, and all the young teens were idol worshipping them. It just completely irritated the vibrations within my body that I have never listened to pop music since that day. I could not cope with the resonations that were coming from the beat that they produced. So let's go back to the beginning again. And Yehovah said, let there be light, and there was light. It was a spoken event. Creation was brought into existence via the vibrations of a mighty Yehovah. Creation was sounded forth. One Hebrew text translates this scripture as Yehovah sang, let there be light, and there was light. Creation is still singing to this very day. The melody of Yehovah is still lingering. And it didn't stop when Yehovah rested on the seventh day. Yehovah is still vibrating right now. In Tehillim Psalms 19:1-4, King David speaks and he says, the heavens declare the glory of Yehovah. The dome of the sky speaks the works of his hands. Every day it utters speech. Every night it reveals knowledge. Without speech, without a word, without their voices being heard, their line goes out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. Now, two researchers from Yale University took the sounds of the planets that they had recorded and put them into a computer and played it through a synthesizer. And guess what? It all harmonized. Because everything in the spiritual realm had a parallel in the physical realm. And celestial bodies are types and shadows of the messianic community and the human body. They also must be in harmony to function correctly according to the plan of Yehovah. David Dramer has composed a musical translation of DNA sequences. He calls it DNA music because it harmonizes. David Tyrrell's whole tones healing frequencies are based on the Davidic harp, and they harmonize on a gematria of three. And so they all, it goes 3, 6, 9, 12, 18, which your 9 is in it. You know, 2 9s are 18, a third of 9 is 3, etc. Now, all matter has vibrations, and the vibrations hold all matter together. Now, whole tones, it is an amazing set of DVDs. And each one of them has a different hertz reading. So the open door has a hertz of 396, which is the gematria of 18, which is 9. An open door is for peace, well-being, and openness to receiving healing. Defense mechanisms lower, and unhealthy fear, guilt, and shame diminish. It's known to positively support blood, liver function, bones, brain, health, neurotransmission, and kidney function. Now, each one of these DVDs has a different healing power. And I love them. Actually, we play one of them at the beginning. The music you hear before we come online is one of these DVDs playing. A DVD that brings peace and spirituality into your being. You wouldn't have heard it today, Malachi said. So as I said, all matter has vibrations, and the vibrations hold all matter together. The world were framed by the word of Yehovah, and without the word of Yehovah, everything would crumble and fall apart. But Yah's word keeps everything together. When you when you lose Yehovah's word in your life, you can expect trouble. You can expect job difficulties. You can expect family problems, and you can even expect health disorders, because you are out of sync with Yehovah's vibrations. And this is why we have to cling to the word of Yehovah. We have to eat the word of Yehovah. Yeshua said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yehovah." One Greek philosopher said, "A stone is actually frozen music." Now, that does sound crazy, doesn't it? But not really. When you think about what Yeshua said in Luke 19 and verse 40, he said, "But he answered Hasatan, I tell you that if they keep quiet, the stones will shout." There are some good vibrations even in those stones. And if we won't do it, Yeshua will find a stone or a rock to praise him. It's time to shout the shout of victory. No matter what we're going through, no matter how isolated we feel at home, we have to keep shouting the shout of victory. King David said in Tehillim Psalms 103 verse 1, "Bless Yehovah my soul, everything in me bless his holy name." This can change your life. And in Romans 8, 22 to 23, it says, "We know that until now the whole creation has been groaning as with the pains of childbirth. Not only it, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Ruach, groan inwardly as we continue waiting eagerly to be made sons, that is, to have our whole bodies redeemed and set free." Sha'ol was talking about a spiritual rebirth, to be born again, or born anew. And that is what Yeshua said. The groaning is the vibrations within our bodies. Everything has a sound and a rhythm. Animals, plants, objects, everything. And this is not New Age. This is the word of Yehovah. All of creation is vibrating with the word of Yehovah that started back in the first day of creation. I have to change my batteries, so hold on a moment. So what I'm going to do now is to read Psalm 148, the whole of it, which is 148 verses 1 to 14. "Hallelujah! Praise Yehovah from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him all his angels. Praise him all his armies. Praise him sun and moon. Praise him all shining stars. Praise him, heaven and waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of Yehovah. For he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He has given a law to which they must conform. Praise Yehovah from the earth, sea monsters and watery depths, fire and hail, snow and mist, storm winds that obey his word, mountains and every hill, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all livestock, creeping reptiles, flying birds, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women alike, old men and children. Let them praise the name of Yehovah, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is both earth and is above both earth and heaven. He has increased the power of his people, granted praise to all his faithful, to the descendants of Israel, a people close to him." Can we all say hallelujah to that? The universe is more than just a random vibrational matrix. Scientists are saying that from the vibrations of the universe comes a gigantic harmonic rhythm. As an example, Out of the electron shell of the carbon atom come the vibrations of the tone scale in perfect order. So if you're playing a piano, you'd go from middle C to C, D, E, F, G, A, which is the C scale on a piano. I guess we could say that every atom sings a song. Scientists are saying that the very nuclei of atoms make music, and that the whole universe obeys the laws of harmonics. And that is not by accident. Those who are studying complexity science are arguing that the scientific findings that they have come across are not meter readings, but something called resonances or echoes of something bigger. No wonder it says in Colossians 3 and verse 16, "Let the word of the Messiah in all its richness live in you as you teach and counsel each other in all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude to Yehovah in your hearts." If Yah's word is in your heart, you are going to come to the house of Yehovah and praise him. I know that is what we will be doing the next time we're allowed to meet together once again. We won't be able to keep his praise from our lips. If his word is in us, it is going to vibrate out. Our bodies are filled with vibrations that have set the tone of our lives. HaSatan wants to steal your song of praise. He wants to strip you bare and tone you down. He wants to make your empty places empty until your matter does not matter anymore. Can I assure you, it makes a difference what music you listen to, especially while you are in isolation at home. This music that you listen to will establish your mood. There is music that creates negative vibes and states of consciousness. As I said, with the onset of the Beatles music, my spirit and the vibrations within my body became extremely agitated. There is a lot of music on the airwaves that are vibrating a harmonic clash to the sweet sound of the soul. Certain songs can create certain moods and emotions. I had to leave the Pentecostal church because the music was causing me to feel so agitated and angry, I hated being there. We had at the time ex-rock musicians leading the music ministry, and the Christian songs they wrote were written to the beat and rhythm of rock music. Music is moving because it stirs up something deep within us. And that is why everything that is sold by radio or television is backed by a song. Because a song gets down into the heart and it touches into the human emotions. How many commercials do you recognize by the music or song that was within that commercial? I know I can remember them back to the 50s. Or the, you know, in 59, I think it was, when we first got television in Queensland. And there's still songs that if I think of something, that song will click into my mind. The heavy beat of the bass sounds that come from a car passing by, it's not just obnoxious, it is something dangerous. Because bad vibes can actually kill you. And this is true. The Japanese mathematician Susumu Ono translated the funeral song from Chopin from musical notes into chemical equations. And the entire song is identical to a cancer gene found in human beings. Bad vibrations. And they're all around us. Dirty jokes, bad music, bad movies, all create bad attitudes and wrong behaviours. Societies without Yehovah's word decline in morality and behavior. Society with Yehovah's word are blessed. There is more emptiness in each of us than there is substance. If all of the world's 7 billion people could barely fill a beach ball with the solid parts of our atoms, it is no wonder we feel empty. If Yehovah's word is not there in those empty spaces, and they are empty, we find ourselves deaf and dead and without praise. But when Yehovah's word is there, we can't help but talk about it. Talking too much. We go to Tehillim, Psalms 100, 1-5. And it says, to make a joyful noise unto Yehovah. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. And it says, shout for joy to Yehovah, all the earth. Serve Yehovah with gladness. Enter his presence with joyful songs. Be aware that Yehovah Elohim... I'll say that again. Be aware that Yehovah is Elohim. It is he who made us, and we are his. His people, the flock of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courtyards with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For Yehovah is good, his grace continues forever, and his faithfulness lasts through all generations. And I have to bring in Anzac Day, and can't help myself. But soldiers are taught to march out of step of each other when they cross a footbridge, because the vibrations of the rhythmic movement of proper marching can actually endanger the bridge. Scientists call this resonance, a tremendous explosion of energy. Something has to give. Whether it's steel or concrete, the vibrations from the song of marching have power. Every object, even a solid rock, has a tone. If that frequency is matched, it will disintegrate the rock. The singer Ella Fitzgerald could produce a pitch that would shatter a crystal glass. Now, lead crystal is fairly thick. It isn't some fine Venetian glass. It's thick, but she could shatter it. Aside from Yehovah, of course, vibration or resonance is the most powerful force in the universe. And we need to put on the spiritual sustain pedal and praise Yehovah. In Psalm or Tehillim 113, verse 2, it says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And also in, that's in the Authorized Version, and in the Complete Jewish Bible it says, from sunrise until sunset, Yehovah's name is to be praised. Now we all remember Kepha when he jumped out of the boat to meet Yeshua, then looked at the waves and the storms about him and became fearful and began to sink, so he called Yeshua to save him. His vibrations changed. When fear came over him, the vibrations changed and he started to sink. If he kept his eyes on Yeshua, the vibrations of Yeshua would have transferred into him and he would have been able to walk on that water just as Yeshua did. In Tehillim, Psalms 29, 1-11, it says, it's a psalm of King David again, give Yehovah his due, you who are godly, give Yehovah his due of glory and strength. Give Yehovah the glory due his name. Worship Yehovah in holy splendor. The voice of Yehovah is over the waters. The Elohim of glory thunders. Yehovah over rushing waters, the voice of Yehovah in power, the voice of Yehovah in splendor. The voice of Yehovah cracks the cedars. Yehovah splinters the cedars of the Lebanon and makes the Lebanon skip like a calf, Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of Yehovah flashes fiery flames. The voice of Yehovah rocks the desert. Yehovah convulses the Kadesh desert. The voice of Yehovah causes deer to give birth and strips the forest bare, while in his temple all cry glory. Yehovah sits enthroned above the flood. Yehovah sits enthroned as king forever. May Yehovah give strength to his people. May Yehovah bless his people with shalom. The eyes may be the window to the soul, but as I said, the ears are the gateway or the door to the soul. In Devarim, Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2, it says, if you listen, Shema, closely to what Yehovah your Elohim says, observing and obeying all his mitzvot, which I am giving you today, Yehovah your Elohim will raise you high above all the nations on earth, and all the following blessings will be yours in abundance, if you will do what Yehovah your Elohim says. Yehovah chose speaking in tongues for a reason. We are made in the image of Yehovah. He is a creator. He is our creator. Tongues replicate the creation process. Vibrations of Yehovah's word impacting us, aligning us, restoring us, speaking forth the wonderful works of Yehovah. Speaking in tongues helps you overcome the negative voice of the adversary. Consider Eve or Hava. She allows the serpent's voice to supplant Yehovah's voice. The serpent's voice then led to the other temptations. Hava was beguiled because the serpent caused the forbidden fruit to be pleasant to the eye. She should have heeded the word of Yehovah. We are the same. The more time we spend in tongues, getting our own thoughts out of our prayers, and the more time we spend in Yehovah's word leads to blessings. I personally use tongues to give me an uninterrupted conduit to Yehovah. It gets my thoughts and my desires out of the way so that Yehovah can speak to me in what and how I should pray, especially when I'm praying for others. The more time we spend listening or watching things that are worldly leads to issues, we have to stay in sync with Yehovah. We can't stay in sync with him by watching most of the things we find on television, what we find in the movie theatres. It's all completely out of sync with Yehovah. When Yeshua was tempted by sight, he responded, "It is written." The word of Yehovah, spoken and written, must exceed what the eyes can see. After all, we all know Hebrews, Messianic Jews 11 and verse 1. Trusting is being confident of what we hope for, convinced about things we do not see. Is Yehovah speaking already, but because of what we can't, I'll say that again, but because of what we see, we can't hear his voice? We have to make sure we tune into him each day so that we can stay on his wavelength. Then we will know like we know like we know that it is his voice we are hearing and not our own. I'm going to finish there, and I'm sure many of you have got questions. So if you do have questions, please don't hesitate to email me or text me, and I will answer them to the best of my ability. And I would love you to do that, but not tonight. Tomorrow, the next day, fine, but not tonight. I've been up since 4:30 this morning. I might not be answer you as well as I should if I do it tonight. So may Yah bless you and bless the word that I've given today. And Malachi will now come and do the Aharonic and blessing in Hebrew, and I'll repeat it in English.